Welcome back in, everyone, to a fabulous new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We have a fabulous show in store for you today, especially for all of our puppet fans out there. Joining us today, we have the co-creator and performer Ingrid Hansen, who's here with her new show, Epidermis Circus, the weirdest puppet show you've ever seen. It's playing March 20th through 24th at Soho Playhouse, and you can get your tickets and more information by visiting sohoplayhouse.com. We are incredibly excited about this show. The hook line in the press release was enough to get us to get excited about it, to want to go see it, to just support this great show. So the perfect person to tell us more about that is our guest. So let's go ahead and welcome her on. Ingrid, welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Hello. Nice to be here.
I'm so excited to have you here. The energy you are bringing on a Monday is incredible. And you've got a wonderful show, a spicy new show that I can't wait to dive into, this Epidermis Circus. Could we start by having you tell us a little bit about what the show is and is about?
Yeah, totally. So I puppeteer on, when I'm not doing theatrical work, I puppeteer on television for the Jim Henson Company's new Fraggle Rock, which is coming out at the end of March on Apple TV Plus. Oh my God. And I also worked playing a lead character on a Sesame Workshop show called Helpsters, which is a beautiful Emmy award winning show. But Epidermis Circus is very different than that. So it's surreal puppetry in a cabaret style format for adult audiences. It's something created by myself and Britt Small, who's the co-creator director of our show, and also Britt was the original director of the premier version of Ride the Cyclone, which is a musical I know that came to New York for a while and then blew up recently with the Gen Zers on the TikTok. And then I have a gorgeous costume designed by Jimbo, the drag clown, who recently won RuPaul's Drag Race. So this show is created by a bunch of weirdos from Victoria, Canada, and home of weird art. And basically on stage, I have a puppet table and a projector and a camera. And I do intricate, tiny puppetry using bare hands, using objects and creating different characters and cabaret acts for the camera that's then live projected and blown up huge on the screen behind me. So you're basically seeing like the behind the scenes of me making this surreal puppet film as it unfolds on the big screen. And it's spicy and sometimes a little bit sexy. And it's a real good time. I have been doing it for 2 years. No, 4 years now. Oh my goodness. Change it a little bit every time. We just toured it to the Puppet Festival in Montreal, this beautiful international Castellier Festival of the Marionette, and Toronto. And it was sold out in both places. And I'm so stoked to be doing it here in New York, off-Broadway, baby.
That is so amazing. I am loving this. This is fabulous. So you mentioned some of the other people that helped create the show. And I'm curious to know, where did you all come up with the idea to do this piece?
Well, you know, I've seen live video feed used in different theatrical shows before, and I've also always loved bare hand puppetry. There's some really gorgeous artists in French Canada and Quebec and Montreal who do that kind of work. So I had a residency where I had lots of free studio time to just experiment, and there was no product needed at the end of the residency. It was just like open studio time, explore what you want. At the end, share what you've wanted, what you've discovered, or wherever you're at. And so I find having the gift of that, of like open exploration time where you don't have to create a product, is that's where you discover the really weird shit. And it's like, I was messing around with mirrors. I was messing around with live feed video, and these different characters started to emerge. And then during the panini, the early days of the pandemic, we did the very first version of this show we did as a live stream from my attic in May 2020, which was like May 2020, you remember? So it's very strange. I was like alone in my sweaty attic with a camera performing a live stream, very early beta version of the show that was promoted by Canada's National Arts Centre. And then later we did my co-artistic producer Kathleen from Snafu had the insane idea of like, why don't we do it as a live drive-in? And I was like, okay. And so in the height of British Columbia's most strict pandemic restrictions of no gatherings allowed, we were allowed to do the first gathering since the lockdown, which was a live drive-in show of Epidermis Circus. And it was in Canada in January in a parking lot. So I wore layers and layers of black cashmere to keep warm because it was very cold. And it was so beautiful. So it was the first time people had gathered in a long time, first time people had come to see any sort of show of any kind. And all the audiences were snug in their cars and they had their radios tuned into a frequency that was projecting from or an FM transmitter all the audio from the show. And then we had it projected on the big side of a building.
That is amazing. What a journey the show has gone on. Well, you've kind of already answered this question already, but I'd like to focus a little more on this upcoming production coming to the Soho Playhouse. And I'd love to know what's it been like developing this production that you've got here in New York.
Oh, it's been so fun. So I've toured this show a bunch, but it always changes because it's this variety show cabaret format. Like all these idiot puppets are putting on this variety show. A little bit of a, someone mentioned, it's like, oh, it's a little bit of like a nod to the Muppet Show format where you're seeing them putting together the acts and you're also seeing the kind of bickering behind the stage, behind, you know, backstage. But yeah, every time I do the show, we change bits, we cut bits, we add new things, we experiment. So I added a tiny fog machine to make tiny fog, tiny stage fog. I premiered the show with parts of it in French, which I just toured to Montreal. Obviously, the version here is all in English. Don't worry. Don't worry. But yeah, it's always, I discovered new. Yeah, I'm always discovering new stuff. That's the beauty with puppetry is and creating live work is it's always different. You get to reinvent it every time. You get to mess around with it, pull it apart. And the audience influences what happens too in a really fun way. Like, yeah, they help me make discoveries about what is funny and what is the story. And like, yeah, we've had some really rowdy audiences. In Winnipeg, we had one guy come back to see the show 5 or 6 times in a row, always front and center. We had an audience member in Toronto who, you know, like this beautiful elderly lady who told me after the show that she was so glad. She's like, I was so glad that I was wearing Depends because I laughed a lot. And, you know, things just happen.
Oh my gosh, that, yes, every show needs someone like that. Incredible. So, I mean, truly, this is not your childhood puppet show, which is obvious. This is so much more than that. Is there a message or a thought you're hoping that audiences take away from this piece?
Well, there's a lot of surreal aspects to the show. So it's been proven that watching surreal art is good for your brain. It creates new pathways in your brain. So I hope everybody leaves the show with a buffer brain. But also there's some fun. We play with the idea of self-love in a very cheeky way. And, you know, what holds you back from just loving yourself and your body, however it is. Yeah. So the theme of self-love is in the show and how, what holds us back from loving ourselves and loving our bodies as they are. And we have some cheeky fun with that, what that means.
I love that. My final question for this first part is, who do you hope have access to Epidermis Circus?
I love when people who have never seen a puppet show come to see this show because it's so unlike anything you would expect out of a puppet show. Like there's no little furry Muppety dudes, you know, it's all surreal. Bare hand puppetry, object puppetry, camera tricks, mirrors, illusions, which it's so hard to describe, really. And so I love it when people who have never been to a show come to see this show. I love that. And then there's also Like all the puppet nerds are coming and the musical theater nerds, I love all those. We also are doing, so the whole run of the show is for age 14 plus. It's a spicy show. However, we're doing two special family-friendly matinees of the show this Saturday and Sunday at 2 o'clock at the Soho. And just, you know, omitting some of the spicy bits of the show. So the show will be 50 minutes long instead of an hour. And it's actually, I love performing for kids. And I think the kids' version of this show is going to be really fun. I have had people bring their kids to the spicy version of the show and they loved it, you know, and a lot of the, I think a lot of the sexy jokes just go over their head. But yeah, this is going to be really fun to perform for a family audience this Saturday and Sunday at 2 o'clock. But do not bring your children to the other show. Well, unless you're really cool with it. I don't know. It's your job. It's your call.
For the second part of our interview, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better. And I am having a blast today. Your energy is exactly what I've needed on a Monday. This is fabulous. And I would love to let our listeners know, what or who inspires you? What playwright or
What who
film?
are the inspo? Who the what inspire? Who the art and stuff? Oh, I recently watched Taylor Mack's Netflix special. There's a mini documentary about Taylor Mack's 24 decade history song cycle. Oh, you have to watch the Netflix special though. It's so beautiful. So Taylor Mack, for people who don't know, Taylor Mack is a gorgeous New York-based drag artist and sings and performs live music and then creates these conceptual shows that are so grand that incorporate the audience and invite them in to be an intense part of the spectacle. And the 24-hour song cycle, they took 24 decades of American history and looked at what was going on in American history in each decade through the lens of the popular music. But they would take those popular musics and twist them in some way. So doing like, weird alternate versions. They had a 24-piece orchestra on stage, and at each hour they would say goodbye to them. And the orchestra members. So Taylor Mack performed this, a 24-hour long theater production in this massive theater, and had a huge audience that stayed there the whole 24 hours for this show. People would like nap and have meals and stuff, but the show goes on for 24 hours. Taylor's singing and talking and performing in 24 hours straight, and every different decade comes with this different grandiose maximalist designed outfit. I can't for the life of me remember the designer's name right now, but you'll see it in the documentary. And the drag costuming is absolutely insane. They're all made out of, garbage and different like found materials and things like that. And they're so over the top and just stunning. And what I love about it is he weaves in different ways to engage, like invite the audience to play into this exploration of American history. So there's a part where in one of the when they explore one of the decades where one of the world wars, he gets all of the young men in the audience to come up on stage, or and there's like a an acknowledgement of like, oh, all the men that went to war that were lost in war. He's got parts where you're like they're throwing ping pong balls at the artist on stage. It's stunning. Anyway, so Taylor Mack's a big inspo. I saw Taylor when he toured to Victoria, Canada, like 13 years ago at a little intimate theater venue, and he's incredible. And his whole team, everybody he works with, highly recommend that documentary. Another thing that really inspired me is Natalie Palamides, not Palamides, I want to say it. Natalie Palam has a Netflix special called Nate. I think it's on Netflix, NATE, and it's a live shot of Natalie's live show, which is this incredible. She plays this male drag character named Nate, who's this like, big like handlebar mustache, and she's got a masculine wig on. And Nate is this dude's dude who like is having a tough time managing dealing with his emotions. Anyway, I can't tell you too much about it, but you just have to watch it. It's so funny. And and underlying all of it is she's playing with this idea of consent through this like really masculine dude. So funny. They just had a show at the Soho as well. They did Banana Brothers. Yeah.
Some wonderful inspirations there.
I also just watched Titanic, which I'm sure everybody listening to this has seen it because it's so funny. But I just ate it up with a big old spoon. It's a Titanic parody as done through all the music of Celine Dion and the story told through the eyes of Celine Dion, remembering this wackadoodle version of what happened on the Titanic. Oh my God. The one thing I loved about it is that you can see that the performers are all having so much fun performing it and just like adding a joke on a joke on a joke and like adding little gags and bits and things and moments. And they just like embellish upon everything in such a beautiful, playful way. Oh God, so fun.
Yes, it's so wonderful. So love that. And you've kind of already started answering my next question, which is brilliant. And that is, have you seen any great theater lately that you might be able to recommend to our listeners? You mentioned Titanic. I mean, that's absolutely on our list. Anything else?
Oh, well, you won't be able to watch it. Well, I think it'll come back, but Kid Koala's Storyville Mosquito is this stunning live music, DJ, string quartet, live puppet film. It's hard to explain, but they have this, they just did it at Lincoln Center, and I bet you they will be coming back because they're touring to Germany now and they're touring all over the place. But Kid Koala is a Montreal Canadian-based musician, DJ, and he does these huge conceptual projects where he's got a string quartet. He's live mixing music and doing sound effects and playing the clarinet, all this stuff. And then on stage, they've got 10 miniature stage sets that are lit gorgeously, and they've got a whole bunch of cameras. And so they're making a live puppet film. In many ways, same like rough concept to Epidermis Circus, where you're seeing a live puppet film being made on stage. And theirs is with a team of 15 puppeteers, gorgeous like lighting, the puppets built at all different scales. Yeah, it's a real experience. And he's just the nicest person. He came to see my show in Montreal, my sexy, spicy puppet show, Epidermis Circus, and he brought his in-laws. He's like, well, bring all my in-laws to your show. And like, the sexy show? Okay. And they loved it. And yeah, you got to see Kid Koala next time they come back to town, because I know they're going to be touring all over the place.
Fabulous. We'll have to keep that on our radar. Keep an eye out for that. So that's wonderful. Let me ask you, what is your favorite part about working in the theater and as a puppeteer as well?
Ooh, I love the audience. I love getting to play off of audience. I love getting to chat with them after the show. I love the way people react to things. It's always different. A mom brought her kid to see my spicy version of Epidermis Circus in Canada recently, and she knew what she was getting into. She knew he was bringing her kid to a spicy puppet show, and the kid loved it, and they were laughing the whole time. But this mom kept like shrieking during the show and going, "Oh my gosh!" and going, "What?" saying like, "What are you watching?" Like sometimes you have people, it's almost like maybe because of the pandemic or something, but people, we've been in our houses watching things on screens by ourselves too much or something. But she was just screaming and shouting about her experience throughout the show in a way that was really fun and really funny. Just like, I love when people narrate their experience and don't have a filter. So great. Yeah. And then sometimes they do backstage tours of the puppet table after the show. And that's really fun. People get to see the behind the scenes of how I make the movie magic. But yeah, I'm excited to share it with New York. I think New York's a really special place. And I hope we get some audiences from the queer community. And like, yeah, I think it's going to be a good time.
I'm sure of it. And I love that answer. That is a great lead into my favorite question to ask guests. And that, of course, is, what is your favorite theater memory?
Oh, okay, here's one. I did a show for a while where I played a geriatric astronaut. It was a solo show, mostly nonverbal. And in the show, the fiction is that the whole audience is cryogenically frozen and being shot into space as some of the last surviving humans because our Prime Minister, Justin Bieber, has destroyed Earth as unlivable. So the last humans are this audience in my theater, and they're being cryogenically frozen. We're shot into space, and I, as the geriatric astronaut, am the only person who's awake, and I'm there to basically be the janitor and keep everybody clean and dust all the frozen corpses. And at the end of the show, an alien attacks the ship, an alien spore attacks the ship and grows and all these things, and I have to shoot it out the airlock. And then we all crash land on Earth together, and I get the entire audience up and out of their seats, and we run out of the theater into the daylight onto the street back to Earth after being stuck in orbit for, 300 years. And we go and like run around trying to clean the spores and save the planet. And then I performed this once in this beautiful theater that is weirdly hidden on the third floor of a mall. So I get all the audience out and we bust out the doors and we're running through the mall. And sometimes I would get an audience member to give me a piggyback, and I'd be like riding an audience member through the mall as we're like exiting the theater with, 200 audience members behind me. We're all going, yeah. And then it was like late at night, and the mall cleaner who drives that kind of Zamboni type machine, that floor cleaning buffer, we had a standoff with the Zamboni machine, me and the audience of 200 people. We like had a little standoff. And then of course we ran out into the world. One of the other shows where I performed that in Orlando, we ran out into the world, and I just ran out into the parking lot. I kept running and running, and a couple of the audience members decided they wanted to follow me, and they followed me. I climbed a tree. And then I hunkered down, and I ran out back behind the building because I had to go back into the theater to clean up. And so I thought I'd lost them, these audience members who were following me to see like what's the end of the show, and then the end of the end, and then the end of the end. And we ran out behind the parking lot, and I'm like, great, I've lost them. And I went the stage door into the theater, started, taking off my costume and cleaning up, and I'm like half nude. And then the audience members bust into the stage door, and they're like, we found you. We just found you. What happens now? So I had to be like, now I clean up. Like the show is done. But I've always wanted to do that show again and get somebody else to clean up the theater. And then just after the show, when we like bust out back into the world onto Earth, to just go on, like just keep going and just keep wandering around the town and see if like people will buy me dinner and and just like stay in character and just like roam the earth. Yeah.
Holy cow, what a story, what a show. I want to see this. I mean, look, I don't run, but I want to experience this. Sounds amazing. What a really fantastic experience. Bring the show back, absolutely. I volunteer as tribute to clean up as long as I can meet up later to see how far you've gotten, you know?
That sounds great. Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing that amazing memory. Well, as we wrap things up, I want to know, do you have any other projects or productions in the pipeline that we might be able to plug for you?
Well, Snafu, our company, Snafu Society of Unexpected Spectacles, we are making a new show that was going to premiere this summer. It's going to be a family-friendly puppet show that uses the same live video tabletop projection technique that we use in Epidermis Circus. So that's gonna be really fun. We haven't quite, this is still in the works. And then, I would love to people to keep in touch, because the best way to keep in touch with us for sure is to join our email list, because you really can't trust social media these days, because there's just so many ads and stuff. You don't always see what your friends are posting. But we're gonna probably come back to New York sometime. It's gonna be a very random time though, so you got to keep in touch with us. And then yeah, we're starting to book lots of tours. So we're starting to tour more internationally, and we might be going to Mexico, we might be touring to Colombia, we might be touring to Denmark, all these beautiful places. So yeah, it's a nice time to be making a weird puppet show, man.
That is incredible. That leads to my final question, which is if our listeners would like more information about Epidermis Circus or about you or your company, maybe they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
Yeah, we're on snafudance.com, SNAF, as in Fred, U, dance.com. And we're on Insta at snafudance. I'm on Insta at I am Ingrid Hansen. And yeah, but join our email list. It's specific. We'll make one that's specific to New York City. And that way we'll just send you events or whatever your city is. I know you've got listeners all over the place. So I also, people are like, we want you to come to our city. You should email me. Find my email address is on our website, snappydance.com. And we are booking lots of tours. So it's always possible we can find ways to come to your city or come teach a workshop in your city. Yeah, that'd be fun. Also, there's a lot of really cool, alternative, unusual, beautiful puppetry work happening in America that you might not know about. So you can check out UNIMA, UNIMA. It's the kind of Worldwide Union of Puppeteers, but they have events listings. There's Puppeteers of America. There's the Henson Foundation. HEAR Art Center in New York City runs a whole puppetry series. Chicago has a beautiful Chicago International Puppet Festival. There's Dragon Con in Atlanta, where they have a puppetry track for all the puppet nerds who want to go to a con. And in New York City next week, there's a puppet show that's a family-friendly show created by a lot of Sesame Street artists called Annika's Elephants. It's a beautiful, and there's a story with elephants. There's another puppet show with elephants called, oh my gosh, it's not running on Broadway soon. Elephants in the, some,
Water
hold
for
on.
elephants.
There's another puppet show running now called Water for Elephants opening this week that has a beautiful elephant puppet in it. So many elephants. And yeah, if people love puppet stuff, there's more happening than you think. Dixon Art Center in New York City has lots of puppetry events. It's just sometimes you do need to do a little bit of digging to find it, especially to find the stuff that's not just the kids Muppety type stuff. If you want to see more adult puppet shows. They are happening. Just do a little digging.
That's amazing. Amazing. Well, Ingrid, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today and stopping by to share this amazing show that you've got, as well as just all the insight you shared. This is amazing. That memory was incredible. I'm still over the moon about that memory. I want that experience at a theater sometime. Bring that show back. But thank you so
Thanks,
much for your
Andrew.
time.
Yeah, lovely chatting with you.
My guest today has been the co-creator and performer Ingrid Hansen, whose show Epidermis Circus, the weirdest puppet show you've ever seen, is coming to New York and playing March 20th through the 24th at Soho Playhouse. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting sohoplayhouse.com. We also have some other contact information for Ingrid, as well as her company, Snafu Dance, which we'll be posting on our episode description, as well as our social media. But right now, make sure you get your tickets for this incredible puppet show happening at Soho Playhouse, Epidermis Circus, March 20th through the 24th. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies, and keep talking about the theater.
Stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.